Merriwell. There it is, an echo of the past. An exciting past, a romantic past. The era of the horse and carriage, gaslit streets, and free-for-all football games. The era of one of the most beloved figures in American fiction, Frank Merriwell. Merriwell is loved as much today as ever he was. And so the National Broadcasting Company brings him to radio in a new series of stories based on the famous books written by Gilbert Cotton under the pen name Bert L. Standish. Today, The Boomerang Pitch. Early baseball practice has already begun. And as our story opens, it's a chilly March afternoon. Frank, Bart, and the rest of the Yale squad are going through a fast batting and fielding drill on the soft turf of the practice diamond.
Atta boy, Bart. That's the way to take your cut. You're beginning to pull that ball now.
So watch my swing this time, Frank. Tell me if I'm breaking my wrist at the right time.
Go ahead.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes, Coach?
Yeah.
Keep hitting him, Bart. I'll be right back.
Oh, sure.
Come on,
toss
a few more.
Okay.
What is it, sir?
How was your arm? I noticed you weren't bearing down much during your warm-up.
Oh, it feels great, sir. I was just following your orders. You said to take it easy.
Well, you'll have to start bearing down. Looks like you pitch a full 9 innings up in Boston tomorrow.
Oh, then that game with Holy Cross is definitely on.
Yes, we just got word from them. They want to make it a regulation game.
Yeah, that's fine. Did you hear that, Bart?
Well, hear what?
The team's going up to Boston tomorrow to play a practice game with Holy Cross.
Oh, that's great.
I'm anxious to get started in a regular game.
Well, it's not so great to me. We've got a pitching problem.
Oh, you mean on account of Jack Diamond's sore arm?
Exactly. I plan to use him for half the game and you for the other half. Now it looks like you'll have to go the whole route.
Well, that's no hardship for Frank, sir. He'll be ready.
I'm not so sure. I don't like to start off the season with you pitching a full game, Frank, but I guess it can't be helped. We're in a bad way for reserve pitching strength this year.
Oh, stop worrying, Coach. With Frank on the mound, you won't need any relief pitchers.
I hope you're right, Hodge. Now, since you two are the starting battery for tomorrow, I want you to relax. Take the rest of the afternoon off.
Oh, yes, sir. Come on, Bart.
We're catching the 9 a.m. train for Boston tomorrow. Make sure you're at the station on time.
Oh, we will be, sir.
All right, you infielders.
Hey, this is a break, Bart. We can get over the infield earlier than we expected.
Hey, say, Frank, look.
Huh?
Look who's walking out to the field.
Where? Oh, you mean Ed Ballmer.
Don't tell me the biggest bookworm in our class has decided to come up with the team.
I doubt that, Bart. Ed isn't interested in sports.
I never could understand him. All the time he's been at school, he's never come out to even see a ball game.
Well, that's not hard to understand. Don't forget, Ed's an Oxford exchange scholar, and they don't go in for American baseball in England.
Oh, that's true. It's the same. I wonder why he's coming out here to practice.
Frank? Frank Merriwell, hold on.
Looks like we're going to find out. Wait for him, Frank.
Look the way he runs. He wasn't such a bookworm. I bet he'd be a pretty good athlete.
Well, what's the trouble, Ed?
Oh, I'm so glad I caught you. I will have a chat with you.
Hello, Bart.
Hi, Ed.
Well, we're just on our way over to Enzo Burgess.
I hate to bother you, but this is desperately important.
Well, come along with us. Enzo will be glad to see you.
Oh, no. I don't want to intrude.
Nonsense. Besides, we can have our chat on the way.
Well, very well, then. And when you hear what I have to say, you'll understand why I seem so upset. I'm in something of a jam, Frank, and you've simply got to help me out. He makes me feel quite at home, Miss Clarence.
And I'm certainly glad you came over with Frank and Bart, Ed. But what's all this about you being in some kind of trouble?
Oh, he told us about it on the way over, isn't it? He sure isn't exaggerating.
It's a devilishly awkward business. I feel like a fool.
Well, you shouldn't, Ed. It's a perfectly natural thing to happen.
Well, for goodness sake, won't someone tell me what it's all about? I'm dying of curiosity.
It's about me, Enzo, and my prowess as a Yale athlete.
Athlete? Oh, I'm sorry, Ed. I didn't mean to sound so surprised.
Oh, that's all right, Enzo. Everyone knows I've never done anything at Yale but study. Everyone, that is, but my family back home.
Well, you see, Enzo, Ed's family thinks he's a star athlete here at Yale.
Oh, I'm beginning to understand.
It started out innocently enough. Dad misunderstood something I'd written in a letter, and the first thing I knew, I was carrying on this deception.
But I don't see anything so terrible about that. It makes your father happy. Let your family go on thinking. There's no harm, Dad.
But that's the whole trouble, Enzo. He can't.
No, you see, my father's here in the States on business, and at this very moment, he's speeding towards New Haven.
Oh, dear. Oh, that is bad.
Yes, absolutely. He arrived this evening. Naturally, he wants to see me before sailing back to England. He's bound to learn the truth, and, well, he's going to disappoint him terribly, to say the least.
Well, you see, the worst of it is Ed's father thinks he's a star on the baseball team, and he'll want to go up to Boston with us tomorrow for the game.
Well, he can't do that. We'll know the truth for certain, then.
I'm afraid there's nothing for it but to own up. No matter how badly it disappoints him, you'll have to know sooner or later.
Too bad you're not really on the team, Ed. He could sure use a few pitchers.
Pitchers? I'm afraid I don't quite follow.
Oh, the players who throw the ball to the batter.
Oh, the bowler. Why did you say so? Well, I'm rather good at that, you know.
Bowling?
Oh, that's a cricket term, Bart. It's the same thing as pitching.
Oh.
Yes. Ed is still cricket, but he really could play baseball.
Oh, I shouldn't presume.
Well, I'm afraid there's quite a difference.
Well, it's the same principle. One man throws a ball and another batter.
Yes, I can just imagine the way they throw it. I bet a cricket pitcher wouldn't last half an inning against a high school team.
It's a cricket bowler.
Oh, boy. Well, whatever you call it. You'd still get knocked out of the box.
Well, not necessarily. There's more to it than you might imagine.
Why don't you give him a chance, Frank? He said the Yale team was short of pitchers this year.
Well, that's true, and there we are.
But not that short.
Oh, wait, Bart. Maybe Inza has something there. At least we could give him a chance. Who knows? He might make a pitcher in time.
Well, you could try him out, at least. Right here in the backyard.
What do you say, Ed? You think you could learn to pitch?
Oh, I'm not concerned at all about the pitching, as you call it, but I am worried about the rules you have.
Rules?
Yes, and of course I shouldn't like to become confused in a crisis.
Nice one, Frank. There now, Ed. That was a fastball. You think you could hit it?
My word, he has a lot of speed, hasn't he?
Go on, Ed. Try to hit one of Frank's pitches.
Here's the bat.
Yeah.
Now, remember what we told you about your stance.
No, I'll try. Go ahead, Frank, old boy. Bowl the first one right over the pad.
No, that's plate, Ed. Pitch it right over the plate.
Oh, yes, plate. Well, however you say it, I'm ready.
All right. Here it goes. That's it, Frank, right in here, boy. Here comes swing.
Oh, too bad.
My word. Amazing. I'm afraid I could never hit that.
Well, don't worry, Ed. Lots of experienced ball players can't either.
Oh, never mind, Ed. You're not interested in learning to hit anyhow just yet.
Mm-hmm. Let's see that pitching arm of yours.
Oh, yes. May I see the ball?
Oh, here you are. Well, let me bat against him, Frank. Here, take the mitt. You can catch.
All right. How far back do I stand?
Well, keep walking until we tell you to stop. Let's see that bat now.
Oh, that's the spot, Ed. Right there. Now, try to get the ball over the plate now. Use my mitt as a target.
Right-ho. But tell me, should I try to keep Bart from hitting the ball?
That's the idea. If you can do it. But the ball has to cross over the plate between his shoulders and his knees. Otherwise, it's a bad pitch.
Oh, I see. Rather a tall order, isn't it? Well, here goes.
Watch this, Frank. I bet it'll be good.
Careful, it might throw a while.
I'll be ready for it.
Go ahead, Ed.
Very well. Coming at you.
Hey!
What happened?
Beauty!
You missed it by 3 feet, Bart.
Well, that was a lucky pitch. Try another.
Go ahead, Ed. Same time.
Righto.
I'll drive this one across the street.
Here we go.
But Dad, he did it
again. So I'll be.
Good work, Ed. That was a great curve.
What's going on here? Could have sworn I was going to hit that one. Try it again.
All right, once more, Ed.
My word. How many chances does a batsman get in this game?
3 strikes allowed, Ed.
But he hasn't struck it once.
No, I will this time. Go ahead, throw.
Very well. Ready? Here we go.
That's enough!
You struck him out!
I did. Is that considered sporting?
It's considered darn good pitching. What do you say,
Pike?
I don't know what to say. I was hitting pretty well in batting practice today. My timing must be off.
There's nothing wrong with your timing. Ed, come in here. When did you learn to throw a curve ball like that? I never saw anything like it.
The curve? Well, I learned that from an Australian chap at Oxford. I've got to be quite a hand at throwing a boomerang.
A boomerang?
Oh, yes, Inza. The Aborigines in Australia use them all the time.
I thought a boomerang is only a toy.
Oh, no, not at all. As a matter of fact, it's a very effective weapon. They use them for hunting game. There's a certain knack to throwing one, a certain twist you give it.
Uh-huh.
I simply use the same technique for throwing the baseball.
Well, what do you say now, sir? You think the coach would be interested, Ned?
I certainly do. Look, I'm going to have a talk with him right now. Perhaps I can fix this so that you can make the trip to Boston with us tomorrow. Mm-hmm. How about it?
Why, that'd be wonderful. Dad'll insist on going, and I'm sure, and if there's any chance of my playing in the game...
Oh, well, wait a minute. I didn't say that. The chances are the coach won't trust you in a game for a few weeks.
No,
Well, at least you could travel with the team. That's better than nothing. After all, even Frank doesn't pitch in every game.
And even though you don't play, your father will have the satisfaction of seeing you with the team.
I must say, it's awfully sporting. Don't you think? I really don't know how to thank you.
Don't try. If that pitch of yours is as good as I think it is, we'll be thanking you in a few weeks. Won't we, Bart? Bart?
Huh? My goodness, Bert, what's got into you? You act like you're in a daze or something.
Well, no wonder I struck out. Who ever heard of a boomerang kid?
I'm glad the coach agreed to let Ed come along on this trip, son.
Well, as a matter of fact, he thought it was a good idea. The only way Ed will ever learn baseball in a hurry is to be exposed to it.
You know, I think we've got a discovery on our hands, all right. By the end of the season, he'll be a big help.
He's the same. He couldn't get into this game today, though.
Oh, he's not ready for that by a long shot, is it? Ed's got to learn variety before he'll be able to last the whole game.
Well, anyhow, it's nice that the coach let him come along. See how proud his father is of it?
I sure did. He seems to be a fine gentleman, doesn't he?
Awfully nice. So fond of his son. It's really a... Oh, hey, here they come.
Hello, everybody.
Good morning, Miss Burridge. Gentlemen,
how do you do, sir? Yes, sir? We were just talking about the baseball team, sir.
This one? Oh, yes. Yes, baseball. An extraordinary game, from all I hear. I'm afraid I've been boring my son with countless questions about it. I wish he weren't so confounded mother.
Well, then...
Never seems to want to discuss it.
Really, that often.
Well, you learn the game much faster by watching it, Mr. Palmer.
Yes, I fancy, sir. I expect to learn a great deal from watching today's contest. I've been here a long time.
Yes. Father, about that business of yours, shouldn't there be something about that?
Well, wouldn't you like to join us, sir? We'll talk baseball to you and to your heart's content.
I'd like nothing better, gentlemen, but I see the train is slowing down and I want Ed to get off and dispatch a telegram for me. Business, you know. Will you excuse us?
Of course, sir. See you later, Ed.
Righto.
Poor Ed. He's so afraid of making a mistake in front of his father.
Well, if Ed has done any explaining of baseball, I feel sorry for the old gentleman.
Oh, what's this station, Frank? Doesn't seem to be much of a town.
Well, it's probably just a whistle stop. We've still got quite a way to go before we reach Boston.
Well, in that case, I think I'll take myself a cat nap. Remember what the coach said. We've got a big afternoon in store for us.
Hey, Bart, wonder how long we're going to stop here.
Oh, I don't know. Oh, here's the coach. Maybe he knows. Hi, coach.
All right. Very well. Everything under control?
Oh, yes, sir, but we were just wondering how long we're going to be in this station.
That's why I came back here to check. They were supposed to lay over for 10 minutes, but the conductor just told me we're pulling out in a minute or two. I didn't want to take a chance of having any of you boys caught off the train. Well, I'll get back to my car.
The lucky thing we didn't get off to stretch our legs. We might have been stranded.
Oh, my goodness, I just remembered. What about Ed?
That's right. He's probably sending that telegram for his father.
He's 90 to be left here.
We better see if we can catch him. Come on, Bart.
Shall I come, too?
No, Angel, you better wait. I'll be right back.
All right. But don't miss the train yourself.
Oh, we won't. Well, he might be right here in the station.
I hope so. We haven't got time to go looking for him.
According to the coach, we have a minute or two.
Let's see.
Nobody in here but the station master.
Maybe he came.
Hey, mister.
Young fella, what's on your mind?
We're looking for one of the passengers, a young man about my height. He got off the train to send a telegram.
Oh, that one.
You saw him?
Sure, I saw him. Come in here wanting me to send a telegram. Of course, I told him I couldn't do anything of the kind.
But
I told him he'd have to go to the regular telegraph office down the road. Oh. It's funny how people think they can use the railroad.
Well, couldn't he actually go down the road to the telegraph office?
Hmm? Well, sure, I reckon he did.
Oh, that's great. He'll miss the train for sure.
Miss the train?
Yeah.
Why should he? You haven't got a good 8 minutes before she pulls out. Got all the time in the world to get down there and back. Why, shucks, when I was a little farther, I could have made it.
You don't understand, sir. The train's pulling out in a minute or two.
Who said so?
The conductor, sir.
Stuff and nonsense. The train is due to lay over here for 10 minutes. Yes, so right there in this time, baby.
Huh?
Yeah, yeah.
The conductor said that the schedule's been changed.
I don't pay any attention to him.
Don't pay attention?
No, that's old Hap Bailey. He's always trying to hurry people. That train won't pull out of here until 10 minutes past. You mark my words.
Well, then maybe we've got time to get Ed, Bart. What do you say?
Sure you've got time. Sure you've got time. But you want to use it all up if you stand here enjoying. That's the trouble with the folks today. Always talking instead of doing something.
Yes, yes.
Are you taking my day?
Well, we'll take a chance. Where is this telegraph office?
Huh? Oh, the telegraph office.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, right up the road, Dad, just like I said, boy. You can't miss it.
All right, thanks a lot. Come on, Bart. Let's find Ed and get him back on the train.
Well, that was certainly a wild goose chase. Ted wasn't there. Hadn't been there.
I wonder where he went.
Well, maybe he changed his mind. Didn't send a telegram after all. Anyway, we better get back to the train.
Hey,
They're not going to pull out now, are they?
I don't know. We better start running. Come on.
It's coming out. Sprint front. We can just catch the rear car.
Let's go.
Oh, hey, that must have
kept.
Oh, don't go on, boy. Catch it.
I'll leave you here. Get up. We can still make it.
All right.
Oh, what's the matter?
I turned my ankle. You go on.
Oh, no, it's too late. We've missed it. This is a fine lift. What are we going to do now?
I don't know about you, but I'm going back to that station master and give him a piece of my mind. Come on.
Aren't Jack and Bart with you?
With me? No, I thought they were back in the other car with you.
Didn't they find you back here at the station?
No, of course not. As a matter of fact, I didn't at all. Ed changed his mind and decided to wait until we got to Boston to send the wire. Why, what's happened?
Oh, my goodness, this is terrible.
What's this? This is so terrible, Miss Bard.
Oh, of course, I was just going to look for you. About Frank and Bart.
Frank and Bart? Now what's happened?
They thought Mr. Palmer here was going to miss the plane back there at the station. They got off to look for him. Pulled out without
what? This? They aren't on the train?
No, sir.
I warned them we were leaving in less than a minute. What in thunder were they thinking of?
Oh, Miss Burridge just explained, sir. They're afraid I was going to miss the train. They got off to look for me.
Just a minute. You're the one Frank spoke to me about last night, aren't you? This so-called pitching discovery of his?
Yes, sir. Ed Palmer.
Are you sure those boys didn't miss this train deliberately?
Deliberately? What on earth do you mean, Coach?
Well, Frank seemed pretty anxious to get this boy on the team right away.
Well, I can explain that, sir. It's because of my father. He's come to this game, and his heart is set on seeing me play.
Oh, I thought it would be something like that. By heaven,
now, just a minute, Coach. Frank Bart wouldn't do anything like that on purpose.
Of course they wouldn't.
I hope not. Because if they have, they won't play on another team of mine. I can promise you that. They know that without Merriwell, I'm in a spot for pitchers.
I'm positive they would never deliberately miss a game, whatever the reason.
Maybe not. But if they don't get to Boston in time to play, they needn't show up for any more games. And that's final.
Hey, mister, do you know what you
say? Well, what do you know about that?
It's your fault we missed it. You said it wouldn't pull out for another 8 minutes.
That's what we get for not listening to the conductor.
Hey, old Hap Bailey, I don't listen to him. He never gets anything right.
Well, it was right this time. That's all we care about. Now, when's the next train through here for Boston?
For Boston? Well, let's see now. I'll be one long here in 15 minutes.
Well, that's fine. We'll get on it.
No, you don't.
What?
That is, I would be one long if this was Sunday, but it isn't.
Oh, no.
Looks like the next one due here is at 4:30.
Uh-huh.
We're usually late, too. Old man Jenkins is the engineer.
Well, never mind always about the engineer. You mean the next train through here is 4:30?
Later. Like I said, it's never on time.
That's wonderful. Just wonderful. Now we miss the game. Now, look here. You got us into this. And you've got to get us out. We have to be in Boston in less than an hour.
Less than an hour? I'm afraid that can't be done, Sonny. You see, you just missed me get there much before that. And not so all side important about getting to Boston. I went up there a couple of times once myself. Didn't care to talk about it.
We've got a baseball game to play there. We have to make it.
Baseball?
Yes.
You mean you go all the way up there just to play a game? Well, I know.
Never mind why we want to get there. The fact remains you made us miss our train.
Oh, come on, Frank. We can't get anywhere here. Maybe you can hire a carriage.
That won't do, Bart. A horse and carriage wouldn't get us there anywhere near in time.
I guess you're right. I don't suppose there's an automobile in this place.
Did you say automobile?
Yes. You know one who owns one?
Why, sure I do. Me?
Wow.
Yeah, I bought it from the fellow who used to work over at the mill. You see, he was leaving town, and he had to share automobile in Asia or something. Yeah, that's the name of it. And he wanted to sell it. Not as soon as I heard
Wait. Will you rent it to us?
No, sir. I should say not. I don't let anybody drive that thing but me. He doesn't know how to handle it. Yeah, she's the more skittish and lots of ways in the horse.
Yes, yes.
Now, you take the other
one. We'll pay anything you ask.
Really?
Then you'll rent it to us?
Well, no. I don't think I should do it.
What for you?
But I'll tell you what I will do. I'll drive you up to Boston myself.
But what about leaving the station?
Oh, that's all right. Old Ed Begley send up the signal car. He'll be along here in a minute, and he'll take over till I get back. All I got to do is just leave a note for him.
You mean we can leave right now?
I reckon so.
Oh, God, then let's
go. You like Old Ed Begley, don't have anything you want to
make. I don't want to.
I'm a talkative old cook, but as honest as the day is long.
Never mind Old Ed Begley. Crank up that car of yours and get us into Boston just as fast as you can make it. We've got to get there before the game is over.
You'll have to get that batting order in if you don't want to forfeit the game, Coach. I can't hold it up another minute.
All right, Ump. I'll get it to you.
Better be quick about it.
Fine mess. Oh, Palmer.
Yes, Coach. What do you want?
How is your arm? You think you can handle a full nine innings?
Oh, yes, sir. You don't have a thing to worry about. I've been studying the rules all the way from New Haven.
Oh, a fine thing. I have to start a pitcher who isn't even sure he knows how the game is played.
Oh, don't worry, Coach. You just watch me. I'll have these fellas all bones and sore.
Huh?
So maybe the turns are all wrong, but wait until they try to hit my boomerang pitch.
I thought we'd never get going, and we're making good time now. How long before we'll be in Boston, sir?
Oh, now, son, that's just the point. We're scorching along at close to 25 miles an hour. Now, you can't keep a pace like that forever. Something bound to give. Yeah, indeed.
Oh, wait, there's a signpost, son. Boston is 50 miles. Oh, that's not so bad. At least we've got a fighting chance to make part of the game.
I sure you have. But today you can't never tell about these here automobiles. Well, I recollect one time I had to get over the building in a hurry. I had to get miles just now.
Yeah.
There's something to do with the six car we had in there. I tell you how we was just scorching along just about like we do.
Hey, what's happening?
Well, what do you know about that? Same thing happened like this the time I was telling you about. Yes, sir.
Oh, that's great. Now, look, we can't afford to lose another minute. Come on, boy. Let's get this thing started.
Right.
Oh, wait a minute, son. What are you doing?
Don't worry, sir. We know a little about motors. We're going to get it started for you.
No, you don't need to bother with that, boy. Here, I'll show you something.
Well, what are you going to do?
Well, you just watch. I've been through this plenty of times before. Stand back now so you won't get hurt.
Hey, you're not going to hit the engine with that crank hammer.
You bet your boots I am. Here it goes.
Oh, what could you think that'll do?
Now, you just watch. Now, then, crank her up.
All right. I'll try it.
You run like a top now. Turn back in, boy.
Well, come on, Bright. Don't just stand there. We gotta make track.
I don't understand the game, but the boy does seem to be doing splendidly.
Oh, he is, Mr. Palmer. You should be proud of him.
Oh, no.
Come on, Ed. Don't walk him.
Tell me, Miss Burridge, how long does this game go on?
Well, this could be the last inning. If only Ed can get the next three batters out and still hold the lead we have.
My word, I'm afraid it's all much too complicated for me. It's not even me that Ed can understand it.
So what did you need to
do? Oh,
no. Don't lose him now. I'm afraid he's beginning to pound.
I shouldn't wonder.
Do
you mean to say you're permitted to remove one bowler and substitute another for the same game?
Oh, wait, here's the next hitting. Let's see what he does. Throw the boomerang, Captain!
Boomerang? Don't tell me you're allowed to throw those at the bat.
Oh, wait, here it comes. Oh, now the time runs on third and there's no one out.
Is that dangerous? Actually, look there. What is that little coach doing walking out on the field at
play?
He's going to talk to Ed. I hope they don't have to take him out of the game. He knew what they were saying right now.
What's happened, Palmer? What's happened to that jug-handled curve of yours? I don't know, sir. I can't seem to make it work any longer.
Well, I don't wonder. You've fixed a great game, boy, up to now, but you're getting tired. I should have taken you out last inning.
Oh, let me finish the game, sir. I'll get these last three batsmen out somehow.
Oh, I don't know. You'll probably do as well as the other boys on the bench. If only I had... Say, what's all that commotion back at the grandstand, huh?
It sounds as though someone's having trouble with a motor car, sir.
All right, you. Label.
Oh, well, Palmer, do the best you can.
If we lose the game now, it certainly isn't your fault.
Yes, sir.
Hold! Hold it still in time!
Good Lord, it's very well and hard. What happened to you two?
We're just standing back there, sir. We made it the best way we could. What's the score?
We're trying to protect a one-run lead with none out and a man on third. Do you think you can do anything about it?
What about Ed?
Well, he's already put six to full length innings before you tired.
Well, then let's have your glove in. Get the catcher's mask wide front. We'll get the side out.
You do it very well. You haven't had time to warm up.
That's all right, sir. Ed's been showing him his boomerang tips. Now let's see what they can do with something old-fashioned like the double shoot. Come on, play ball! One more out to go. Show this man your stuff.
Get
up, baby. Get in the door, Frank. Boy. Now let's try another one in here. That's the time. You can't hit it. Here we go.
Go, boy.
Out, beauty, Frank. One more strike and we've got him, Frank. Come on now. Let him see the real double shoot. Here we go. Hit it.
Goodness, what a finish that was. He struck out all three of those men, Frank, without even warming up.
Well, it's Ed who deserves the credit for that win.
Sure.
From all I hear, he pitched a great game out there.
Oh, I'll say he did. Holding that Holy Cross team for eight innings.
Yes, my boy, I was really proud of him.
Oh, thanks, Dad.
Oh, you should be proud of him, Mr. Palmer. Pitching a game like that is first time on a baseball field.
Oh, that's all right, Miss Buttered. You see, I know all about it with little deception.
You did?
Yes, I had a long chat with your baseball coach after the game.
Oh, and you don't mind that about my attending, are you?
Oh, mind? Why, my boy, it made your performance all the more remarkable. I'm twice as proud of you as I was before.
Well, I'm glad to see nobody missed the train this time.
Thank you for station agent.
Well, what are you doing on the train? I thought you were driving back in your car.
I was, but I'm running into a little trouble.
But don't tell me it broke down again.
Yep. Of course, that didn't worry me on the curse. I just got out and set you that mother crack with a crank on it. But then it happened.
What happened?
That motor busted clean into him. Yes, sir, you can say what you want to, but they don't build guns anymore the way they used to.
They certainly don't.
And so ends another exciting adventure with Frank Merriwell, the loved hero of American fiction, brought to you in a new series of stories by the National Broadcasting Company. And be sure to listen again next week at the same time when Frank Merriwell returns in another of his celebrated exploits. Frank is played by Lawson Zerbe, Bart is Hal Studer, and Indra is Elaine Ross. Other members of the cast were Hedley Rennie, John McGovern, Roy Plant, and Lou Hall. Original music is by Paul Taubman. The Adventures of Frank Merriwell is written by Wilson Gilbert Braun and William Welch, and the entire production is under the direction of Ed King. This is Mel Brand speaking. Tell you that the American Red Cross field directors are stationed with American troops all over the world. And the veteran can tell you how the Red Cross handles personal family problems and how the Red Cross serves as a contact between the serviceman and civilian life. The Red Cross is on duty in all service hospitals, too, giving special care to the injured. All these services are a great help to our men on duty. But the fact remains that it takes a lot of dollars to provide the kind of help the Red Cross gives. The goal for 1949 is $60 million, and that means that every single American must dig down and give something. Won't you give as much as you can to the American Red Cross Fund in 1949? This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.